Hello, everyone, and welcome to our very special Up the Poshcast retained list episode. In this episode, we are going to talk about every single first team player from Peterborough United's squad and whether we would keep them for next season. Now, the exceptions to this are obviously Kwame Poku, Ricky J. Jones, and Hector Kyprianou, who we can't have any influence over. They are all leaving. So we're taking that as read. For the rest of the squad, we are going to talk every single person that would have any interest in the first team. And we're going to go through and give our verdicts on whether we are keeping, selling, or releasing them. On tonight's episode, we have everyone but Charlie. So that is Ashley, Harry, Dell, Lods, Max, and myself, John. And we are going to start, rather self-evidently, with the goalkeepers. First up of those is Jed Steer. And Lods, what are you going to do with Jed Steer next season?
Look, I'm keeping Jed Steer. I don't think he is good enough to be a promotion-winning goalkeeper. I did say that sort of towards the back end of the season, and I still think it now. He has been a lot better in the second half of the season. I think he's been the goalkeeper we wanted him to be. And for me, I don't think we're going to get much better. I do think it's a problem area for our squad going into next season, but I just don't see us spending the required amount of money on another goalkeeper to come in and be number one. So for me, I'm just happy that it's Jed.
Yeah, for me, I'm keeping Jed Steer, but he was not going to be my number one next season. For me, I think I'd keep Jed Steer for his experience. He'd be my number two, and I'd spend money on a goalkeeper in the summer. I think a new goalkeeper is so important to us if you want to be competitive. I think it's our weakest area. A lot of the goals that we've conceded this season, albeit our defence hasn't been up to scratch, I think has been goalkeeping errors. And I feel like we need a new one that we can spend money on and really get behind. I don't think Bilo's probably good enough with his feet, but he's good at shot stopping. I don't think Jed's good enough at shot stopping, but I think he's good with his feet. I'd like to find a goalkeeper who is even just bang average at both. And that way that might lessen the mistakes. But for me, Jed Steer will be the number two next season and we'd spend some more money on a new goalkeeper in the summer.
Yeah, Max, I do think, controversially, I think I agree with you in that it's been very apparent that, unfortunately, all three of our goalkeepers haven't been good enough this season. When you think about Jed Steer, he does 50% of his job fantastically. And then when you think about Bilo Kaprić, he does the other 50%. If we could merge the two, then we would have a fantastic goalkeeper. But I think that you would also then have probably a Premier League goalkeeper, which has been something that I am trying to drill into my own head, is that we are not Man City, we are Peterborough United. So I would keep Jed Steer, but I'm only keeping him for his experience. I am not, like you said, Max, I'm not keeping him to be our number one next season. I don't think that he's good enough. I think that, like you say, Max, we should probably be spending some money on a goalkeeper because it has been so poor for sort of the last, maybe let's say 18 months, maybe even 2 years. I'm trying to think back to the last goalkeeper that we spent money on, and begrudgingly, it was probably Christy Pym. And how did that turn out? Like Dell said in the last episode, we ended up with a Golden Glove winner, didn't we? So when we spend the money, it does work out for us quite well. So I think that that's something that we need to look into. And unfortunately, much to my disappointment, I think it is time to let Bilo Kaprić move on. And I have put him onto the transfer list. I think that when you compare the two, I don't think that we get any money for Jed Steer. I think that people will pay for Bilo's potential. It's not going to be life-changing sums of money, but, you know, like we'll discuss later on, I'm sure we need to make sure that we get some money in for players. And I think that Bilo Kaprić would go for more than Jed Steer. So, unfortunately for me, yeah, I think that it's going to be Bilo Kaprić onto the transfer list with Jed Steer staying on in the squad.
And I am at the other end of the spectrum on the Bilo question. We're a club that has consistently developed strikers with the occasional defender and midfielder along the way. We've never done it with a goalkeeper because it takes time. And Bilo has all the shot-stopping ability of a championship keeper right now and could go higher, I think. And it's those quote unquote simple parts of his game that he struggles with. I think a lot of these are going to be to do with experience, bulking up a little bit. Granted, he's going to have to work damn hard to get to a place where he's not making stupid errors. But I believe we could have somebody who 2 years from now, we're selling for many millions, who we probably only sell for a few hundred grand plus add-ons this summer. Will he definitely become that good? Of course, it's not certain. But do I still see the potential there? Absolutely. And with Jed being, is he 32, 33? Are we really going to potentially get rid of two different keepers, gamble it with Blackmore? I think we absolutely should be keeping Billow here, hoping he bulks up a bit over the summer and maybe even takes the number one spot from August.
I think that moves me nicely on to young Will Blackmore. Obviously, Will's been with us many years, not really been given a chance. Having said that, he come on the other day. Come on, he started the game, had a blinder, man the match. But for me, I think it's now time to release him. I think we've also taken emotions out of how we feel about players, whether they're nice guys, horrible guys, whatever. I think we need to look at it from a footballing perspective. I think he's had his time. However many years it is, he hasn't managed to sort of break into the team to be a first teamer. Not always on the bench, could be like the third choice keeper. I think for the benefit of himself, I think it's fair that we release him, let him find the club where he can be number one and hopefully have a successful career. Because whilst he's with Peterborough United at the moment, he's just, just not really progressing. We can see there's a good goalkeeper, but I'm not sure that he's got a future at Peterborough United. So good luck.
For me, I think with Will Blackmore, I'd actually send him out on loan. I'd transfer list Bilal Kapic. I'm in agreement with that. And for me, our third goalkeeper, which would be Will Blackmore, I think would be sent out on loan. There's definitely a goalkeeper in there. I think there's a goalkeeper that we could probably develop. But having only just been given the chance, we're seeing what he can do. I think these last three games are sort of crucial, or these last two games, sorry, now are crucial. But I think he could go down a level to League Two and be a number one keeper down in League Two, maybe even, top end of the National League, and give a good crack of having a full season of competitive minutes. And then we can reassess next summer. But I wouldn't presume he's on a lot of money. I don't see the point of releasing him when he's a good goalkeeper. And look, in the very uncertain circumstance that, say, we buy a new goalkeeper and he gets injured and Jed Steer comes in and then he gets injured, we've got a third goalkeeper on loan rather than only having two. And although that's a very uncertain scenario, I think there's always a possibility that that would happen. So look, I probably disagree with you there, Del, on releasing him. I'd loan him out, let him develop for another season with a get some professional minutes under his belt of a full season and then reassess next summer.
I've been far more radical with my goalkeeping policy than anyone else here, personally. I think it's time to get rid and start again. I think, look, we're talking about Jed Steer, and even the people that want to keep him are talking about a flawed goalkeeper. I don't want to see that again next season. I think Jed Steer has been better in the second half of the season, granted. However, you look at his stats this season, he is statistically the 20th best goalkeeper, or probably the fourth worst. Now, if we want to push, and this is the third year of a project, let's not forget, a third year of a project that the project was promotion, we're not going to achieve that with the 20th best goalkeeper in the league being our number one. And if you keep him as number two, you're then sacrificing a sizable chunk of wages on a number two goalkeeper who may never play a game all season if your first choice stays fit. So that's my reason for getting rid of him. I think Bilal Kapic, Harry, I think your claim is wild. I think he's too flawed as a goalkeeper to ever be worth millions of pounds, I'm afraid. I think his kicking in a team that wants to play possession-based football is just too weak, for one. And Dara's talked about wanting to have 600 passes a game. Well, you're going to need a goalkeeper who can play ball at feet, and Bilal Kapic can't do that. I also think he makes way too many errors, and I have not seen in 2 years any improvement in that front. And it's time that he can't be trusted as a number two. He can't step in. Blackmore's the one which potentially I think could sway my mind over the next three games. But he's 23, like you said, Del. And I think with him, if if there was something about him, you'd like to think Fergie would have seen it in training. He's watched him in training for a long time now and has never really promoted him into a first team role. So if he has three good games towards the end of the season, then maybe I wouldn't be too opposed to keeping him as number two. But as it stands, I'm very much concerned about just keeping him around and whether his quality over the long term will be good enough to even be a backup keeper in this league.
See, I think the complete opposite to you, John. You want to get rid of all three. I want to keep all three. I spoke earlier about Jed Steer. I want to get to the end of next season with Jed Steer being phased out and Bielo being phased in. That's what I want to see happen. I think we signed Bielo as a project, investing in a young goalkeeper in the hope that we could develop a keeper from our own coaching, I guess, which I don't think we've ever really done. I don't think we should give up on that project yet. I think we should give Bielo another year to reach that level. All three of them are out of contract next summer. I don't think we should keep Steer on. But if I'm being honest, I don't mind if Bielo's our number one. I don't think we're going to get to January next season with goalkeeper being a problem if Bielo's our number one. I know that we're aiming to get promoted, but after this season, I don't think it should be an expectation. I think just progression is good enough for us. And regarding Will Blackmore, well, I mean, with Bielo, we need to make sure he's okay being number two for another season, first of all. But with Will Blackmore, I think he's the perfect third goalkeeper. You talk about all these experienced goalkeepers at big Premier League clubs that are just there for vibes and there for the dressing room. Everyone loves Will Blackmore in the squad. Everyone thinks he's a nice guy. I don't think you should overlook that when you're talking about his future at the club. If he wants to go out and get game time, fair enough. And I've got no problem with him being number two as well if we do decide to move Bielo on. But if he's happy to stay at the club, I think we should just keep him as a third goalkeeper as an absolute worst-case scenario.
That's the goalkeepers rounded off then. We're going to move on to the defenders now. And first up is Carl Johnston. Del, what's your thoughts on him?
What's my thoughts? My thoughts are transfer list, get him out the door, get somebody else in. You know, he'd come in to do a job and I think he'd done that job to a fashion. But I also think, if we're honest, he's not really, you know, that sort of right back that we're looking for. You know, you've got Dornelli, who's our own player, young player coming through the ranks, starting to improve as the season's gone on. But just something about CJ is the fact that I don't think he's necessarily that sort of defender that we look for in a right back. Does that make sense? And I don't think he's all that great, if I'm honest. I don't know how much we paid for him. I think it was a bit of a panic buy, which got us out of the shit a little bit. It sort of stemmed the boat, but I think it was more of a needs must at the time rather than something to build on. And I just don't think he's a Peter Rowe player. And I think it's time for him already. Time. I know he's only been here a few months. Thank you for what you've done, but on your merry way.
I am keeping Carl Johnston, although I don't dispute what Del said about him not performing that well. However, two off-field context points with him. One is that he offers decent cover across the fullback positions, and that is worth having when potentially our starting fullbacks next season are going to be, what is it, 21 and 20 years old in two academy products in Dornelli and Mills. Secondly, he is clearly very good on the dressing room intangible side of things. He's a natural leader, just like Hughes is. He has a positive attitude, talks about in his interviews about how family values have been the things that have led him to push on in his career. His head is screwed on correctly. And at the beginning of the season, Fergie talked about it being a very quiet dressing room. And no doubt CJ has done something to turn that around, along with others who have come in January. He needs to step up, but I do believe that he could. And for that reason, it's worth keeping him.
Yeah, Harry, I disagree with you, and I'm going to agree with Del. I think that, let's say, I think it's $300,000 that we paid for him. That is an expensive private tutor for James Dornelli, which has worked. There's no arguments there. I think that James Dornelli has come on leaps and bounds when he had somebody like Carl Johnston to learn from. But I just do not see this best one-on-one defender that Ephraim Mason-Clark and Fergie have made comments. I think he's been incredibly poor basically after the Wrexham game. He probably wasn't even that good in the Wrexham game, if we're being completely honest. And he was this new signing that we announced 2 hours before kickoff. And he was always going to be the man of the match because, as we've discussed many a time, this lovely new shiny thing that we had at the time, and everybody loved him. I'd not watched the back that performance, but it probably wasn't anything special. He probably just got tight to his man. But as the season's gone on and we've watched it, I'm not convinced that he's better than James Thornelly. And to have somebody that we've paid 300 grand for as a number two, I just can't see it myself personally. I just don't think that it's a worthwhile investment. I've got him down to transfer list, and I think that he's somebody that, similar to Jack Sparks, that has come in, served his purpose very short term, and then I think that he's somebody that we should sort of be saying goodbye to as we move into the new season. And what ultimately I would call is probably going to be a new era of Posh, like we said, is that Lodz is right. We're not, it's not about being at the top. It's about progression now. And I would like to see somebody like James Thornelly progress. I don't really want to see somebody like Carl Johnston progress with us. I think he's done his progression. I've said before, he's at his ceiling now. James Thornelly has room to grow. So I think that that's where we should be, where we should be putting our time and attention into.
I think another player which many people will probably think that they should get rid of is Emmanuel Fernandez, who we're next going to talk about. I am not of the opinion we should get rid of him. I think we should keep Manny. Now, I've thought long and hard about this one. I actually think he's one of the ones that's probably the most borderline in the squad when I think about it with my own head. However, I would qualify keeping him. I don't want him being a starting choice as centre-back, but I think he has his uses. I think I still believe there is some potential in Manny. I think he's a massive, massive unit of a centre-half, and physically certainly has the capabilities to play higher. Obviously, technically, he's limited, and I do think concentration-wise, he's had his issues. But as a substitute, as an emergency substitute in the last 20 minutes when teams are pumping the balls long and you want to go to a five-back and clear your lines with defenders, there's nobody better in the squad at heading the ball than Manny Fernandez. He is a set-piece threat. He's scored a lot of goals this season from centre-back. And, I mean, if you remember back to last season, he was used sometimes as an emergency centre-forward, as like a chaos merchant in the last few minutes. And I think that's the role I see him in. I see him as either, well, probably a fourth choice centre-back next season. I would keep him around to play that role. If he has to start games, he needs to come on a lot. We can develop him in the trophy. We can develop him away from the league. That's where I see Manny personally. Ultimately, he was a player we had a lot of money bid on in January, and I don't think I'm quite ready to get rid of him yet, but I do think he should be playing in fewer minutes. That's what I'm trying to say.
Nah, fuck him. See ya. I'm not keeping him. I think, let's be honest, our defence this season has been fucking dog shit, right? And Manny has been part of that, a main part of that. I think, if I'm honest, I think he will be a good defender, but I think he's going to remind me of Santos, where he was fucking pony for us. And he was. Santos was so bad for us. And then, to be fair to him, he's gone and had a decent career at Bolton or whatever, where he's like super liked. I could see something like that happening with Manny. But for me personally, I just, he concerns me with his lack of consistency, his lack of awareness. He will have an absolute shit of a game. And then, as you've seen, a couple of games on the spin, fuck me, man of the match, man of the match. Wembley, yeah, kudos to you, absolutely outstanding. Following game, I can't remember who it was against, or was it whatever, the game before, again, outstanding. But you, as a centre-back, you need to be a bit more consistent than that. I know we can always keep saying he's only young, etc. But, you know, if you're a professional footballer, right, and you're getting professional footballers' wages, and people are paying to watch you play, you need to be switched on all the fucking time to, you know, to control your defence or control your position. And I think with Manny, he's too chilled, you know, too chilled at times. And he's not good enough to be like that, as people have alluded to, Van Dijk shit, whatever his name is, Dijk, I don't know. But for me, No, I would list Manny and let him sort of go elsewhere and then turn into be a great player. But I don't think he's going to be outstanding for Peterborough moving forward. My opinion, obviously, which is normally what I listen to.
I'm going to disagree, Dell. I think I've seen all I need to see from Manny, and that was that performance at Wembley. And that one performance for me shows me that there is a player, and a very good player at that, at centre-half. I think if he hadn't have picked up that injury, I think we would have seen more of Manny towards the end. Look, it's not been an easy season for anyone. It's been a massive restructure. I don't think any of the players would look at you and say, look, this has been an easy season, and Manny would definitely be one of them. I think we threw them both into the deep end this season. I expected them to come on and basically be Josh Knight and Ronnie Edwards replacements immediately, and that was never going to happen. And for me, I've seen enough of Manny Fernandez to know that there is an excellent centre-half in there, in my opinion, and that's why I'm keeping him. I'm not transfer listing him or releasing him. I think he's good enough for us. I think he might be a bit of a project. Don't get me wrong. Very similar to Bilal Kapic, but I think he's more come on. Like there's definitely a first choice centre back in there. It's whether we can get the best out of him, and I think we probably can.
So because he's had one game at Wembley and he was fantastic, and he was. We need to keep him. Now I could probably name you, I don't know, dozens of players that have had one fantastic game for Peterborough. And it turned out shit, you know. Frecklington, for start off, you know. Grant, who we brought from Lincoln, one game, shit. One game's not enough. It's too inconsistent. And if we want a project, I think we should go and get a Lego set or something. But money's not our answer. For me, money's gone. See ya, as I just said.
But yeah, I'll disagree with you again, Dell, if I'm honest. You've just talked there about inconsistency, and that was the word you've used. So for me, that means that he has played some excellent games this season. It's not just one game that you're picking out. And for me, somebody who's probably had his first sort of stint of minutes in a professional career, inconsistency is always going to be a thing. For me, the performances that he has, yes, he's got a clanger in him, but I think everybody has at sort of the age that he is and the level that he's playing at. I think you've got to look beyond that and look at the good performances that he's put in and put the negative ones behind and think there is a player that we can develop there and there is a first choice centre back in there in terms of ability. And I think everybody's seen that. And Wembley epitomises how good of a centre half he can be when he's on his day. And on his day, we'll slowly iron out as he gets more opportunity and more minutes. I'm not saying that we should keep him to be our first choice centre back next season. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that there is an excellent player in there, and I think everybody here has seen that over the course of the season. So to release him or to put him on the transfer list and probably not get a lot of money from him, when we could definitely develop him into an excellent player, I think is a little bit silly.
My last line on it, he has had some excellent games. He's had some right shit games. I think based on this season and the inconsistencies that we've had in this season, we need to move him on and get somebody in a little bit more stronger. There we go. That's my opinion. And I respect yours as well, Max. Well thought.
Listen, I think if you're playing four at the back, you need four centre-backs, ideally. And I don't think George Nevitt should be one of them. I did say on the last episode we recorded after his real bad performance against Bolton that he looked really rusty. And let's be honest, physically, he needs to bulk up a bit, doesn't he? I don't think there is anything better for him right now than to go drop down a league or two and get absolutely battered by some massive 36-year-old strikers every single week and come back with the 7 pounds of muscle or even 7 kilos of muscle. I think there's an absolute player in there. I think technically he's good, although he didn't show it on Saturday. We already know that that's his strong points. His weak points are things that he can pick up quite quickly in a lower league playing every week. So as much as I would love to have Nevitt as our fourth choice centre-back, he needs game time. So loaning him out is the best option for me.
So on Nevitt, I'm just, I'm going to sort of turn everything around to what I said about Manny, that he's had some shit games and everything. But with Nevitt, I've actually opted to keep Nevitt. Now, I don't think Nevitt's going to be a starter week in, week out for us next season, but I think he'll benefit more from being around the club than he will be going out on loan. I think he's the sort of player that we need to nurture. I think he's the sort of player that we need to build up. He needs more than the £7 of muscle that's been put on him. He needs a lot more than that. What was the lads? 18, 17, 18? I'm not even sure. Might even be 19. But I generally think with Nevitt, there is something about him. The other day, granted, he was fucking pony. I can't remember who we played, but Bolton. He wasn't very good. Let's not sort of like try and fluff it up. But I actually think someone like Nevitt around the ground, under Fergie, in our own environment, I think he's going to be one for the future. Keep him from a year. And if he starts have a few games towards the end of next season and he sort of starts like looking like a player, excellent. See what we need to do with him, whether he needs to go out on loan then or not. But I think this year is an early part of his career. We need to keep him and we need to nurture him. So that is why I'm keeping him. Not to be a starter week in, week out, because let's face it, he ain't costing a lot of money. I think it's beneficial to keep local.
Well, there are two other defenders who I'm just about to mention who we're all keeping. They are Harley Mills and James Dornelli. I think that we're not going to spend too much time talking about them because the general consensus amongst pretty much every Posh fan, I would say, is to keep those two. And another one is Jack Sparks, who we're all getting rid of. Don't think anyone's going to disagree with this. If you do, please write in the comments and about why you disagree with those things. But we don't think we're going to get too much disagreement on those. Moving on then. Ollie Rose is the next defender up, and we're going to talk, Ashley, what are you going to do with Ollie Rose next season?
Ollie Rose is an interesting one for me because this may be controversial, but I think that Ollie Rose will be a better defender for Peterborough United than George Nevitt will be. I think that he's got more of Ronnie Edwards about him, more of that stylistic style of play. He's had a really good loan at Scunthorpe. I don't think that he's ready to come into the first team yet, so I would send him out on another loan. But I think that loan now needs to be proper top end of the National League or low level League Two, hopefully with a team that plays good football, fits his style and can develop him further so that when we're recording this next time, this time next year, hopefully, if we've not been booted off air by then, that he's somebody that we keep and he comes straight into the first team. I think that he looks physical. He looks like he's up for a battle. Whenever I've watched him, he's not played obviously massive amounts of minutes, but the only sort of mistake that I can remember him making was potentially one at Gillingham. So I think that, yeah, look, he's a young lad as well. Same as George Nevitt. I think that he needs a loan. And then I think that, yeah, like I said, this time next season, that he's somebody that we look to having our first team and in and around the matchday squad week in, week out.
I think Ollie Rose is out of contract next summer. And Dara said we're going to sign two centre-backs in the summer as well. I don't think Ollie Rose is going to get any game time if we keep him. We could loan him out, but then we're going to be stuck in the same position this time next season of whether we give him a new contract or not. Realistically, is he going to earn a space into the squad from a one-year loan out? I don't really know. He's had a good season at Scunthorpe, or half a season, however long it's been. And I think we need to start selling our low-level youngsters as well. If they come from our academy, it's pure profit, isn't it? You look what Man City do with some of their academy players. They sell them out to League One, League Two, Championship teams for a few million. And it all adds up. And I think Posh should start doing that, really. If we're loaning out players and they do well at clubs, how much would Scunthorpe pay us for Ollie Rose right now? I don't think we should be turning money down for that kind of player when we have no plans to get him in our first team as of yet.
Next up on our list is Oscar Vallin. Now, I think what I'm about to say might surprise any long-term listeners of the pod. I am on the opinion that we probably should keep Oscar Vallin at this point. I was obviously very critical of Vallin over the first half, two-thirds of the season until he played alongside Sam Hughes. And I think he has improved massively, really, since he's played alongside Hughes. I think he deserves a decent amount of credit for the fact that he's played with a hernia injury, which I wasn't aware of. And there are things in Valin that I still remain thoroughly unconvinced about. I'm not convinced that he's a top level League One defender. However, I think he has proven enough that I'm happy to have him as a third choice next season. I'm happy to have him as that rotational option. If one of our two starting centre-backs get injured, he can potentially step in and play that role. I think he's proven just about enough that if he comes in and plays alongside an experienced head, he is good enough to make an impact and keep goals out. The record speaks for itself, really. We've kept a few clean sheets at the back end of this season. And as a third choice centre back, I think we could do a lot worse than having him there. So that's the reason I'm keeping him in the team. Not as a starter again. I think he's played too much football this season. I think we need better than him. But as a third choice, I'm relatively comfortable with him staying in the squad.
Yeah, John, I'm keeping him as well. It's funny, having watched very early in the season, I remember Huddersfield, first game of the year, this unknown entity being basically the most aggressive player on the pitch. Now, it wasn't that successful and we shipped two goals in that game, but there was something there in terms of his tenacity, even if it was a little bit unpolished. Weirdly, that kind of fell away and actually he became a lot less aggressive midway through the season and far more impressive on actually moments where the player broken down, he had to catch up with players. He's very quick, as Max has told us many times, and we should recognize where, and he should recognize where he needs to improve his game and focus on that, because there are enough qualities there in terms of pace and positioning that I think he can step up seriously if he works on a couple of areas, one of which is clearly his aerial presence. He does not win enough headers, when especially when the ball's coming in from goal kicks from the other side. And this, I do think, is teachable. And yeah, I'd keep him for this reason. That there's enough of there as well. One last thing on Valin. He went straight from that Swedish season, straight in basically to playing with us with almost no break. The man's been playing football for 15 months straight. And with a nice 6, 7, 8 week break, then I can come back rested, fit and fresh.
Professional footballer plays professional football games. Jesus Christ. I'm pretty sure that he's played less than Harrison Burrows did last season. And what's the excuse? The intensity in Sweden is obviously clearly not there. And he struggled, which does then link on to the mystery man, Adebisi, 500 grand down the drain at the moment. And unlike Carl Johnston, I think that we do need to give him a chance, but I think that he needs to go out and he needs to get some game time as well. I think that putting him somewhere, even if it's back at Crewe, somewhere that he's familiar with, that he gets the chance to find his feet again, get himself on the football pitch, enjoy his football, because that's clearly something that he's been missing over the last 9 months since he's had injury after injury. I'm also not sure that he's as good as we think he is. I know that he was playing in pre-season with an injury, but I wasn't massively impressed by him. He didn't set the world alight like some of the other new signings that we had. Like we talk about, again, to bang the same drum, the shiny things, Adebisi didn't look that fantastic. So I'm not sure that he's going to be great. I think that a short-term loan, so something until Christmas, will find his feet. He plays every week. Hopefully, he, fingers crossed, he doesn't get injured again, because if he does, then you're talking, that's 500 grand for potentially somebody that is career over, which would be massively disappointing. But yeah, Adebisi for me is a loan, just so that he can find his way again, get used to playing every single week, get used to three games in sort of a fortnight, and ultimately get back to it. So yeah, that's where I am with Adebisi.
No, I'm probably going to be a bit, sound a bit harsh, but I'll just release him. Transfer list him. Obviously, £500,000 for a player that we haven't really seen. As Ashley said, was he all that great in pre-season? Not really, but I think sometimes you take a gamble and you lose. And I think this is a gamble that we paid £500,000 for a player, got injured. I think we should cut our losses and move on. You know, we know what we've got with Harley Mills. We'll talk about other players soon. But for me, I wouldn't even loan him out. I'll just get him on a transfer list, see what happens. But having said what Ash has said, if he does get a short-term loan, he gets a few minutes in his belt and somebody comes and offers some money, I think we should take it. How do we know that it's going to be any... is he not going to be injury-prone moving forward? Yeah, it's a lot of money, but I don't even know the guy. I don't know if he's a nice guy, shit guy, horrible guy, whatever. I don't even know how many games he's played, etc. But for me, I'll just cut our losses and move on.
I'm gonna categorically disagree, and I'm keeping Adebisi. And in fact, I probably even, depending on the preseason, I probably even have him as our first choice going into next year. For me, Adebisi was phenomenal in League Two. He was absolutely excellent, outstanding. We paid the fee that we did for him. Whether I think that was the correct fee to pay for him, I don't know. But look, we paid a lot of money for him. He has had a horrible first season, probably not the first season he would have wanted. He's been down and out with injury. And he played the final 15 minutes at Stockport, I think, before picking up another one. I think he was rushed back a little bit because our defence was just so poor. We were just looking for something to plug a hole. And I think, unfortunately, he picked up another injury or did his injury again. So, look, for me, talent like that doesn't just go. We paid a fee for him for a reason. I did watch a couple games for where he came from, and I thought he was excellent. And at the end of the day, I do think that we should give him that chance, and I'd probably even start him over Harley Mills next season, which looks like the avenue that we're going to, and see whether or not he is all the crap that he is. I think he's proven enough in League Two. Look, if you're going to send him on loan, it's going to be to top end League Two. And I think he's already proved himself there. I just think he's had a horrid start to a season, and I think or start to a career at Peterborough United even. And to toss him out the window now, as Dale was saying, and to transfer list him without giving him a proper opportunity or chance, I think it's unfair on him as a player. I think he deserves, you know, even if it's till January and we try him and he's not what he's hyped up to be and we think we need minutes, then we can look at a loan avenue. But I wouldn't be transfer listing him, A, because I don't think we'd get any money for him, because we're going to transfer list him and no one's going to want somebody who hasn't played for a year and has been injured. I think he's got to come back in and play, and I think that's what he'll do.
So we have three defenders currently in the squad who are due not to be here next year. They are Jedel Katongo, Sam Hughes and Teo Eden. Now, we're all in agreement on what we're going to do with Katongo. We're not having him back. I think that speaks volumes about his season and probably a surprise, because I think if it was the back end of last season, we were all been clamouring to have him back. But we're all agreed we don't want to see him again, unfortunately. And that's the way this season has gone. Now, one we're more divided over is Sam Hughes. Max, how are you feeling about Sam Hughes? What's the next step on him?
I think Sam Hughes has been absolutely outstanding since he's come in. I think without him, there would have been an element of us conceding even more goals, us losing more games, and ultimately it might have even gone down to the last day sort of thing in terms of relegation. I think he came in and transformed that defence, a level head, an older head. And look, at the end of the day, I think he's done a job, the job that we brought him in to do. And I think he's done enough to earn himself a Peterborough United contract if that's what he wants to do. And I probably would try to sign him. However, I would try to sign him as a last resort. He would not be my first choice signing in the summer. He'd not be the first person I'd break the bank balance for. For me, I think there is better options out there on the market that have better ball playing ability, which is the football we want to play, than Sam Hughes. Sam Hughes is absolutely amazing defensively. And if we're going to sign two centre-backs, he'd be one of them. But if we're only going to sign one, I'd look elsewhere in the market first. I'd see where else we could sort of what sort of quality we want. And I think there's better players that can pass the ball better than he can. And maybe not, you know, head the ball or clear the ball better than he can. But at the end of the day, when we play our football, a lot of the time, well, we saw last season, didn't we? A lot of the time, teams struggled to get the football from us. And if we can get that sort of level of quality back at centre half, I don't think there's a need for somebody as defensively adept as Sam Hughes. I think we could probably get away with someone who might be a bit more defensively frail, but can play the ball a lot better and can keep it and can sort of play the football the way we want.
I'm going to agree and disagree with you there, Max. I agree that we should sign him. I said in the last episode, I think we should make him captain after Cipriani leaves. I think the impact he's had on our season has probably been the most positive out of all the players. And had he been here for the whole season, I think he would have been a clear player of the season. The bit I disagree with you is I think he should be our first signing. Quite frankly, I think we should just get that done ASAP. I'm sure we probably already know how much he's going to cost us. I can't imagine it will be too much. Wages might be a bit of an issue. We know that Darrow doesn't like to sign players over the age of 24 or 23. It seems to get younger every season. But I've been crying out for a bit of experience, and not experience in the sense of 33-year-old ex-championship Premier League players. Experience is in 27, 26-year-olds who have been in the league that we're playing in, which is exactly what Sam Hughes is. Every centre-back that's played with him this season has been better. And his just general personality, he's a natural leader, I think, in the dressing room as well. We need it badly.
I am a firm disagree on Sam Hughes. I think that Sam Hughes was excellent for us this season. I think that he's avoided us getting dropped down into League Two. However, that is exactly what Sam Hughes is. And if we have any aspirations of not being in a relegation battle next season, then we do not sign Sam Hughes. If you look at his career, Burton, constantly avoiding relegation. Stockport signed him because they were probably expecting to be in a relegation battle this season, or they wanted him as a backup in case they were in a relegation battle. They weren't. So what happened? He came to us. We were in a relegation battle. He's helped us avoid that. If we want to, if I think for me personally, signing out Sam Hughes is an acceptance that we are going to be in a relegation battle next season. Now, I do think that we are potentially going to struggle next season, but in terms of progression, like we always wanted, we shouldn't be accepting the fact that we're going to be in a relegation battle in the next season. I think that that would be defeatist from the start. I think that it's a negative attitude. I think that we need to go back to what we do well, and that is bring in players, develop them. Talking about Manny, he's had a season. Oscar Valin, he's had a season. That's experience. That's what our experience normally is. I said that the players that we would normally rely on are the ones that leave the next summer. Oscar Valin and Manny Fernandez could be those two players. I just do not want to see it. Nothing against Sam Hughes. He's very good at what he does. But I think that, it's an acceptance that we are going to be in a relegation battle, which ultimately I think would be absolutely disastrous from the start. He doesn't play the way that we want to. And I want a fresh start. I want next season to be a fresh start, and I don't think that Sam Hughes brings that.
I don't understand. People say that he can't play the system that we want to play. And I know Dara said we want to do 600 passes. We're not going to. Having Ronnie Edwards in our team was an exception. We're never going to find someone as good as that for as little money as we're willing to pay for a defender. I think Sam Hughes has been fine in possession. If you think back to the start of this season with Manny and Wallen and the disaster that we had at the back, we're going to go into next season with the same defenders. We're just going to end up in the same position as we did this season. We need the experience at the back shoring up that defence. Sam Hughes is that player, in my opinion. Where I said earlier on that we could get to January and I don't think goalkeeper would be the problem. If we don't have that player in our back line, and it doesn't have to be Sam Hughes. It just needs to be an older person that can just defend, in my opinion. I think we'll get to January and we'll be in the same position, and we'll have that problem position, and we'll need to fix it again in January next season.
I think that the issue here with buying someone is when we buy players, we're normally buying them from lower divisions. If Stockport know that we desperately want Sam Hughes, they put the price up, and it's by 50 grand, it's by 100 grand, it's by 250 grand or so. And then all of a sudden we're paying 600, 700K for a defender that in a year's time has absolutely zero value to us. And again, we're then in the same situation that we have with Jed Steer. It's just a waste of money for me. I think that there would be better, like you say, find a 23, find a 24-year-old, not a 27, 28-year-old, and bring them into the team. Somebody that's played 60 appearances.
Ash, fucking hell, mate. Seriously, I was 100%. We are signing Edwards. Hughes. We're signing him. Like everybody else. What you just said has made me start doubting myself now. You know, Yeah, he has done what he's had to do. He's kept us out of relegation, but I didn't realise the teams he's played for has always been down that end of the stick. And we've always, and I've said as well, and a few of us, that he's actually done what we said he would do. He's not been the best. He's not been the best at playing the ball out. He gets the ball, he gets out. And I've kept referring to him as a cheap man, Zakwani. And you know what? I think I've swayed. I think I've swayed, not in a gay way, obviously, but I think I've swayed towards you, Ash, with Hughes. So yeah, thanks, Hughes. But all the best.
Do you know what? And somebody else as well, Teo Adun. I think he completely fucked himself in that Northampton game. I'm sure that there was plenty of people. I'm not so sure, because similar to Carl Johnston and Dornelly, I'd much rather Harley Mills. I think that somebody like Teo Adun won't make us any money. There's a reason that he couldn't get in at Charlton. There's a reason that he's got himself sent off twice. One of them, fucking fantastic. One of them, sheer stupidity. I think that that was ultimately a decision that he made himself by getting himself sent off. Yes, he apologised, but we don't need stupidity like that around a team next season. We need level heads, and I don't think that Eden has a level head that can carry the team forwards, unfortunately. So he is somebody that I would not be offering a new contract to.
Do you know, I don't think you can change me on this one. I am one of my reasons in letting Adebisi go, thinking it is because I'm going to be keeping Eden. I like Eden. Yeah, he was a fucking prick for what he'd done laying out. You can't be doing that against Northampton. Cambridge run, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I know I'll give him a 10 for doing it, but I like it. I like him. There's something about him that I really want him to be successful with Peterborough. He needs to sort out his fucking... his aggression, not his aggression, because we all need a bit of it. He needs to sort out his discipline. If he can sort that discipline out, I think he'd be a hell of a player. So I am keeping, all right, I am going to be keeping Eden, or I'm going to be offering him a contract at least. Whether we sign it or not, it's a different matter. But for me, I would like to see Eden nude. What's his name? Oh, fucking hell. Eden in a Peterborough shirt next season. So I've given you one, Ash. I can't let you have two, mate. All right. You've turned me once. Once bitten, twice shy.
And with that, we round up the defenders. Moving on to the midfield. With the first one we're going to talk about is Donny O'Brien Brady. And I'm going to throw it straight to the leader of the Donny O'Brien Brady fan club, Harry. Is there going to be any surprise with your want for next season? Are you going to keep him?
No surprises here. Donny O'Brien Brady will play a first team, hopefully key role in a squad that is in the top half of the table next year. And I'm looking forward to this guy's development continuing. He has shown flashes of being League One quality, and he's shown moments where he needs to improve. But fundamentally, there is a player in there. I am sure of it. His attitude is spot on. Anyone who go listen to my little spiel on Donne after the Bolton game, the episode on that, because I think I cover it a bit better and also contrast it with some of our other potential backup midfielders. But yeah, I'm glad to see that he's had some opportunity this season when it was unexpected. He's taken that opportunity at times, not consistently, but at times. It's enough that we should keep him. I really do think he'll kick on next year.
Once again, I'm going to be radical here. Donny O'Brien Brady does not have a future at Peterborough United. Put simply, he is never going to be good enough for Peterborough United. I think, look, I kind of take the point that he has some technical ability, but he played number 10, so you'd expect that. If you've spent your career as a number 10, you're going to have a level of technical ability. But he plays backwards too often. I don't particularly think he's mobile enough. I don't think he has enough impact on games. And I remember Dara calling me fucking bonkers as a quote when I suggested that he wasn't quite as good as Hector Kyprianou. Well, now go back and check the win records, Darren. I think you'll find that we've probably got a better record this season when Hector Kyprianou's played, because that is the player you're talking about replacing. And he is leagues and leagues below Kyprianou. Now, if we want to move forward as a football club, we can't be relying on him to start games. And I don't think he's good enough to even be a fourth, third choice And the same goes, I'm afraid, for Ryan de Havilland, who I checked before this episode, has now played 66 times for Peterborough United. Now, admittedly, these aren't all starts. There are some substitute appearances in there. But I can remember about two things that he has done in all of those 66 appearances. He is Mr. Anonymous. He is Mr. Invisible. He has very little impact. I do not see an upside there. I do not see a player that's ever going to be capable of playing at League One, or certainly not at the top of League One. And look, you want a promotion squad, you need to be ruthless. I think you've always found we've always had a pretty good third midfielder when needed, maybe with the exception of Reece Brown in that season when we went up. But in general, I think, you know, Ollie Norburn was around, wasn't he, when we were very good, and Jack Taylor. And you look at the strength and depth in that area, and we've always had quite impressive strength and depth, I think, as a promotion squad. I don't think de Havilland nor O'Brien Brady cut the mustard in that regard.
De Havilland, if anything, captain next season, mate. Now, obviously, I stepped too far. I'm keeping de Havilland. Whilst you say you two things you think he's done right, you can't even count how many things he's done wrong. You know, he's one of these, as I keep saying, he's a steady, reliable midfielder that would do a job wherever you need it to be. I'm keeping him. No ifs, buts, or maybes. As I say in a lot of previous pods, he may not be a starter week in, week out, but he is definitely, definitely good enough to you know, to fill in the gaps where need be, come off the bench, shore things up. For me, de Havilland is staying 100%. But obviously, you know, that's whenever I ever fucking right. But for me, no, he's got to stay. He's just, he's too steady for just to be let go.
Del, just to answer your question on two things that de Havilland has done wrong. Bolton penalty, last minute, dragged his man down from a corner, poor marking. And if you remember Rotherham at home on his limited opportunities, showed Johnson Clark Harris onto his left foot, bang, they score. Doesn't have any impact on games, and there's two things straight away that he's done wrong, which is more than two things I can say that he's done right.
Okay, so that's in 60-odd games, you can think of two mistakes. My case has been one. Next.
Well, we'll agree to disagree, Del. One that we all agree on, at least, is, well, all apart from Ashley Young, is Tyler Young. We are all going to release him. The kid is out of contract, so the FA Cup dream dies again next season, unless somebody else in the Football League wants to deal with that circus. Anyway, onwards we go to more important matters. And Archie Collins is next up, going into the final year of his contract, of course. Max, how are you dealing with that situation?
Well, if I was in any position of power at Peterborough United, I'd sit him down on a table and offer him whatever he wants on however long he wants to stay for. I think that's the first bit of business that has to come this summer, and that is a contract extension for him. I think he's probably our best midfielder. We're losing Kyprianou, we're losing Poku, we're losing Ricky. Archer Collins is not one that I want to see go. I think he'd sign a contract extension. I think he looks like he's playing his best football. He looks relatively happy here. I don't see why we wouldn't offer him something. And look, if we could offer Joel Randall a contract that made him our highest paid player, then double whatever we gave to Randall and put it on Collins' contract, because I think he deserves it. He could have easily have gone at the end of last season. He could easily go this season. And I've got an inkling that tells me that he won't, and then he will sign a new contract if it's offered to him. And I think he's going to become one of our, he already is one of our best players, but I think he'd become our best one. And for me, we don't tick without Archer Collins. And he is, I can't stress enough how badly I'm hoping we stick a 5-year contract on the table for him and just say, look, sign here, whatever you want money-wise, we'll do it. Because for me, he's so important and integral to this midfield.
So I've got a pretty nuanced position on this, but I am transfer listing Archie Collins. I am not doing it on footballing ability. Obviously, he is a top level League One midfielder, will probably cut it in the Championship. And it is for that very reason that we should cash in. We are about to see, as you said, Max, three key players leave for tribunal level fees in Hector, Ricky and Poku this summer. What do you think we might have got for them had we sold them all last summer? Now, we know that Hector was probably lowballed from championship clubs. So let's say he was a million with maybe another million in add-ons. But Poku would have taken 2-3 million up to probably 5 with add-ons. And Ricky, maybe a million or so up front, but then the add-ons would have been significant. I genuinely think we could have got 10 million all in for them. And it will be, what, a million in tribunal fees from these guys? Now, was this season worth that £9 million gap? Clearly, oh, Max says yes. I think not. We should learn from our mistakes of last year, and we should sell Archie Collins for what money we can get for him. One last thing on this, just to back it up. Let's not forget that we all thought that selling Jack Taylor would mean that we would be nowhere the season after. Sometimes losing a key player is not the end of the world, and other players are able to step up or be purchased, just like Archie Collins was. I think for that reason, given the financials of the club and given how the performances have been from players who only have 1 year left this year, on the whole, we should sell him. And he also owes nothing to the club. What a great servant he's been in the time he's been here.
I'm going to disagree. If you look at we can never predict what's going to happen. But now we're at the end of the season. Looking back at this season, I think there's two main things that sort of stuck out. The first of that being the transfer window. I don't think we invested our money very sensibly. I think the general consensus here is most people would agree. I think we could have got better players for the money that we had. And if we'd sold Kipriano, if we'd sold Ricky, and if we'd sold Poku in the summer, A, I probably think we'd be close to, if not rock bottom. And B, if you look at the strategy of last season in terms of the transfer window, I don't think we would have invested that money very well in a clever way. I don't think the players that have come in this season definitely needed a league season in League One, or for example, for like Kean Hayes and Abraham Odo, they needed a season playing for Peterborough to understand how you play and how Darren Ferguson wants to play. It was a very big bedding in season. If we'd then taken Kipriano, who's been our captain all season, Ricky J. Jones and Kwame Poku, who has just made League One team of the season, and we'd got rid of them all in the summer for lots of money, and basically had a whole factory reset, I don't think we'd be anywhere near it. In fact, I think we probably would be relegated. So for me, in terms of was this season, was keeping them worth it? Absolutely, because I think we'd be a League Two club without them. And for that reason, that's why I'm probably keeping Archie Collins, because we don't know what the transfer strategy is going to be like. We know we've got a top end League One midfielder and a champion, or even a low end championship midfielder at his peak. Why bother cashing in when we can keep him, know the caliber of player that we've got, know he knows how to play the way that Darren Ferguson wants to play. And then we can trust the recruitment process for the fringe players and maybe one big one. For example, we're going to have to replace Poku. So we can trust the transfer strategy for that, but we know that we've got a player that's been here and can sort of have a level head and guide some of the newer players coming in on how to play and get them up to speed quicker, because I think we lack that a little bit as well this season. But look, I think not cashing in on them was the right decision, because I think we'd be a League Two club if we had done.
I think you have to assign values to each of these players, though, don't you? If you look back to last summer, how much, if we transfer listed Poku, Jones and Kipriano, how much we would have got for them? Because you're talking like, what, £8 million probably, give or take, if with all of the add-ons. How much is relegation to League Two actually worth? Because surely we'd rather £8 million come into our accounts than a relegation. I don't think the club will lose £8 million by being relegated. Don't get me wrong, I love Archie Collins, and there is nothing more I want this summer than him to sign a new contract. Whether we've offered him one or not, we don't know. I hope he signs it. I hope he stays for a few more years. But equally, if we aren't giving him a contract or he isn't signing a new contract, we do need to take that money, because, yeah, okay, he might be the difference between us winning promotion or not, but I don't think you can say no to a certain value, whether it be 2 million, 3 million, I don't know. We need to assign that value. We need to transfer list them, make sure that the fans know what the crack is with these players, and make sure that other teams are aware that we could sell them. And the same goes for Malik Mothersill. I also love Malik Mothersill. And again, there's nothing more that I want than him to sign a new deal this summer and stay next season. But I think he will go on to play Premier League at some point. And imagine if we let him go at the end of next season and didn't get a penny from that. That would just be really embarrassing for us. We'd better off selling them now if they have no intention, or we have no intention of keeping them for past this next season. We always did it in the past with the final year, transfer listing them and selling them on. And we've really struggled to get players to sign new deals for the last 5 years or so. We need to get back out of that habit. We've got so many millions of pounds of debt. We need to get out of that debt now, sell our assets whilst they're valuable, and then just bring in the next player that we're going to develop into that million-pound player.
I think both yourself, Lods, and Harry have fallen into the trap of finances and finances only. I think you're thinking of very much the upside without thinking of the negative side. And the negative side of selling both Collins and Mothersill, in my opinion, is we become a League Two football club. And that has a far more detrimental impact in the long term to the finances of Peterborough United than any deficit over a season. I think Malik Mothersill, on potential, and I'm going to bore people talking about it again, should be handed the keys to the city. Give him a big contract. Get the contract out, as Rio Ferdinand says, and let him sign what he wants. He's doing his thing. Honestly, Mothersill is probably the player with the highest ceiling in this football club, in my opinion. He is the player with the most value anyway. I think we lack players of real sell-on value, whereas before, when I looked through the squad, I think you could see a lot of high-potential players with a lot of value. Now, do you see that many? I think you can probably argue Mills and Dornelli fit into that category, but beyond that, I'm not sure there's too many. You look at Mothersill's figures this season. I know they are amplified a little bit because he takes penalties, but he's got 12 goals and 9 assists. You look at Kwame Poku's figures last season, 11 goals and 7 assists. Now, he has outperformed Poku last season over the course of this year. I think he is pretty much set for a breakout season next year when he will become one of the best players in League One. I think there are still refinements that he needs to make to his game in terms of his finishing from open play. But I think he covers 3, maybe even 4 positions, pretty much can play right across the front line. And I think he's such a talented footballer. He is the sort of player I want us to build this football team around. Give him a pay rise, get him tied down, secure his value, and sell him for a lot of money next summer when he will be worth infinitely more than he is this year.
This will come as no surprise, but John, I completely agree with you. And we have our club captain leaving this summer. I don't want us to sign Sam Hughes. Archie Collins is clearly not the talker that we need him to be. I think that it's time for Malik Mothersill to step up and be one of the leadership, if not the club captain next season, alongside somebody like Harley Mills and James Dornelli. Give it to those three. They're all strong characters. Malik Mothersill has a great head on his shoulders. Yes, on social media, he's had his period where he was reacting to things and he shouldn't have done. But when I look back to the penalty that he missed on Saturday, I can't remember which player it was, literally charged at him. Now, if that's me and somebody's charged into the back of me and run through the back of me and shoulder barge me, I'd be absolutely livid with them. He didn't react. He got on with it. Same happened in the middle of the pitch. He just got on with what was happening on the pitch and didn't have to worry about it. I think that, like you say, John, he's somebody that we should be giving all sorts of money to. Keep him here. In a year's time, in 2 years' time, we then make probably 3 or 4 times what we would do if we sold him this summer. So I think it's a relatively simple one for Malik Mothersill. Give him the contract that he deserves. Let him then move on. He's our Cam. He's played left wing. He's played right wing. He's played up front. But I think that Cam is his position. He needs to take ownership of that. And unfortunately, for the next player on our list, in Chris Conn-Clarke, that does mean that I think that he needs to spend some time out on loan. Now, back to Adebisi, 3-month loan are not something that we've done all that often, but I think that Conclark would be another one that would benefit from a three-month loan. I think that he would get the game time that he deserves in League Two. I don't think that he needs to go down as far as the National League. Get the game time in League Two. There's no point in him being sat around on our bench watching and playing in sort of four Virtue Trophy games, five at a push, a League Cup game, a possibly an FA Cup game, and then getting 20 minutes here or there. He needs 90 minutes week in, week out. I still think that the potential is there with Conclark, but if he's not playing the games week in, week out, then unfortunately he's not going to get the chance to thrive and express himself. So Conclark for me is somebody that I would be looking to loan out on a short term, and then we then bring him back in from January and we utilise him there.
Yeah, this was a difficult one for me. I think I'm transfer listing Chris Conclark. I think I just haven't seen it. I just haven't seen it. And there's only so much time that I can spend on a player that has shown, look, pretty much nothing over this season. As much harsh as that is to say, I want to like Chris Conclark. I like the idea of Chris Conclark. I just haven't seen it on the pitch. And I think that number 10 role is such an important position. When we've gone up before, we've always had such good number 10s, whether you look back to the Tomlin, Paul Taylor days, or whether you want to go to more recently in like Smodic's Dembele days. The number 10 is such a key role in this Ferguson system. He is going to have to develop more than I can see. And I really want to be wrong about Conclark. And I do, with him, I am less certain of it, because I do see sometimes there are just moments and flashes of excellence, but I just haven't seen enough for him. And I think for me, we move on, we draw a line under it, hasn't quite worked out, and we go again next season.
I'm not loaning Chris Conclark out for 3 months. I'm not getting rid of him. I am keeping Chris Conclark. Now, does he need to work on a number of areas of his game? Yes. But all of them, in my opinion, are he needs to get 5% better across the board, not 20% better in a few areas. He has not jumped up to League One pace. And that's the fundamental reason why he hasn't performed this year. That is fixable. Very, very fixable with hard work this summer, which I think he'll be willing to do. He does, and I don't want to speak disparagingly, and I might just be wrong about his frame, but he looks like he could shift a bit of timber. And I think if he does that over the summer, that will help with his shooting off the mark, with his ability to press. One more thing I'd say, if Chris Conclark ends up listening to this, that pressing intelligence off the ball. It's well and good having 100% effort when chasing down your man, but it's often reactive. The ball's already gone, you go run after it. The ball's been passed, you go run after it. Get that anticipation improved. Try and be in that passing lane before that pass happens. It will significantly help your game, and you will have to run less off the ball so that you're more rested, if that's the right word, when you actually get on the ball to work your magic, which we all know that he has. Plus one final thing on him. You don't score however many goals it was in the National League. What was it? 23 goals, something like that. Unless you are a good finisher. Got the nets are all the same at every level. And those shots were often into the corner. He needs to get a bit of confidence back to get his shooting boots back on. But there could be a serious goal-scoring talent there as well. Definitely keep for me.
We're going to round off the midfielders. And to avoid controversy, we're classing midfielders anyone who doesn't play as a winger or a striker with Mahamadou Sissoko. Sissoko obviously is on loan from Man City at the minute. We're going to talk about whether we want him back. And I'm going to start. My decision is made mainly not on footballing ability, because I think there is definitely a player in Sissoko, and I've seen moments of genuine technical excellence that are way above League One level. And I think if you look at it on a footballing ability wise, he is much better than, let's say, De Havilland and O'Brien Brady, who I'm getting rid of. However, his injury record really concerns me. He missed a major chunk at the start of the season. He's got injured again. realistically, with Kyprianou going, I think ideally you'd like him to be your starting central midfielder, but it's very difficult, I think, to plan around a midfielder that's shown that level of fitness issues in his first season in professional football. I don't have the confidence that you can say he's going to play 30, 40 games next season just because of that. And because of that, I wouldn't re-sign him, because I would rather go to City and say, hey, can we have somebody else since we have quite a good relationship? So that's the only reason for me. I think he's a good player, but I think his injury record really concerns me.
Yeah, John, I actually agree on the injury record. I hadn't really looked at it in that way in terms of his injury record. And he has missed massive chunks this season. I don't disagree. However, I do think that the injuries have stemmed from that really unfortunate injury he had to his thigh. And I think probably a pre-season, he probably could play that level of games, or that volume of games even. He definitely could. And I don't think anybody here will doubt his ability. I think he's a fantastic player. I think he's very good progressively. I think he's very good at sort of taking the ball and picking the pass. But he's a very similar player to Collins. In terms of the fact that maybe he's not as gritty as Collins, but he'll set the counter attacks off, and he'll drive up the pitch with it if he needs to, and he'll hold it. I don't necessarily think he's going to be the Kyprianou replacement. However, I wouldn't mind loaning him in and having it as, or loaning him back and having it as a more rotational. However, looking at his injury record, I do actually agree with John in terms of maybe City will offer us somebody new and somebody different that could be better than Sissoko. Until then, I wouldn't mind seeing him back again next season. I don't think it's a deal breaker with a lot of these players, very similar to Hughes. Really, I'm only signing Hughes and Sissoko back if we've got nobody else, and it's sort of like just a panic signing at the end of the transfer window, and we know that they've played well for us this season. And they could probably do it again next year. That would sort of be my pretense in terms of signing these players back. But don't get me wrong. I think there's definitely a shout for Sissoko to come back, and I probably would try and sign him towards the end of the transfer window, just like we did with Katongo. Look, Katongo hasn't worked out. I don't think Sissoko will be as dire as Katongo has been this year. I mean, Katongo has been injured, and he's been terrible most times he's come on the pitch. Whereas Sissoko, when he's come on anyway, he's looked good for a lot of it. So that's probably why I do that. But again, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I'm not overly fussed. I don't have a strong opinion on it. I would much rather us try and sign somebody better. But if we can't, he's an excellent option. And I'm not going to sort of say no to bringing him back if we do.
I'll just go quickly on Sissoko, Max. My concern would just simply be that we could end up trying to chase for him. And I bet he's going to be umming and ahhing over potentially other clubs that might be interested in him. And just like Katongo this summer, we wait until transfer deadline day. Let's cut loose, go for a player who we know wants to come here and get it done early if we're loaning in a midfielder. That's the only reason I'm not bringing back Sissoko, who is a tidy passer, good ball control, has been unlucky with injuries. Good luck elsewhere, unless he really wants to be back. But I don't think he will be.
Right, we move on now to wingers and forwards. We're going to start with David Ajeboy. Now, us sensible posh fans have all agreed that we're releasing David Ajeboy because we think he's not quite good enough. However, Charlie, who's not on tonight, wants to keep him. Now, we had to investigate this, why Charlie would want to keep Newport's reserve winger, David Ajeboy. So here's a message from Charlie from pre-recorded that we're going to put into the pod.
Yeah, so I think there's a few reasons why I'd keep David Ajeboy. The first being obviously the quality of the squad this season. He knows the system. He played it last season. And we've got to remember Ajeboy actually did some very good things for us last season. There's a lot of games where without his impact, we probably wouldn't have been as successful as we ended up being. And to be honest, he's better than what we've got right now, which is, you know, better than Adoh, maybe better than Kean Hayes. I think about Shrewsbury away. I think about Lincoln at home, games where he made a massive impact. And he's versatile as well, so he can play right back, right wing back, right wing. Yeah, I think keeping David Ajeboy might be a sensible thing to do, considering how many signings we're going to have to make in the summer.
I think we can all agree Charlie is chatting some absolute waffle there, but we're going to move on to Abraham Odo. Abraham Odo, a player I have been very critical of this season, and I'm not going to stop now. He's on the transfer list for me. If I'm transfer listing Con Clark for reasons of just not seeing enough this season, I'm saying exactly the same about Odo. Just hasn't done it. Just hasn't worked. And I don't really want him as an impact sub. I think generally when he's played slightly better, he's actually started games and been given a run. When he's come off the bench, he's been completely ineffective in matches. I can't think of one good impact he's had as a substitute on a game and turned it around. We need some wingers. Odo will not cut it at Peterborough. I'm not going to re-emphasise the point. I've said it enough. I do not believe he's anywhere near the level we need. He needs to go and play at League Two because that's, in my opinion, his ceiling.
I'm keeping Odo. I actually said at the beginning of the when we first started doing this pod, I actually said that during pre-season, he was one to keep your eye on because he was fucking like the little star man, the trickery, everything superb. So this season has not quite been. In fact, it's been nowhere near the expectations of what I thought it would be for Odo. So I'm going to give him another benefit of that. I'm going to give him this year and see where we go. I'm hoping that this is a year where he bucks his ideas up, is consistent, and he, you know, is consistent with his little trickery because it's definitely there. We just haven't seen enough of it. So yeah, I'm a believer at the moment. We'll give it another year.
Well, I think for the first time this episode, Dell, I'm going to agree. I'm keeping Odo, and I'm obviously we've got to sign a Kwame Poku replacement. I prefer Kian Hayes to Odo, so for me, Kian Hayes had play on that flank. We'd sign somebody new. My new shiny thing is Ethan Archer, and then we'd have Odo as a backup to whoever we side or whoever we replace. I don't think Odo is probably going to start. He might start. We never know. We won't know to the start of next season. But I definitely think that whoever we sort of sign to bring in, Odo will be a good replacement for. He's quick. He's had a bedding in League One season. He's played a lot of minutes this season. He'll be able to come off the bench. He'll be able to create an impact. I think anyway. I think there's more quality to keeping him on the bench. Or even starting him next year once he's had this bedding in season and giving him a go, if we're not going to sign a player on the wing. In terms of sort of playing that, however, that way where football, Bradley Ihovinien is somebody that I don't think we're going to see next season, which is a big shame because I am a massive Bradley lover. He's probably not a good character off the pitch, But he's a bit of a shithouse. And I like that. I like a player with a bit of character. He's not in Darren Ferguson's plans next season. I would have kept him. I think actually everybody, we were unanimous on keeping Bradley before we heard Fergie say he's not in his plans for next season. I think that's a shame because I think he's better than Gustav. And that's an opinion I probably will have. I don't think we'll ever get to see whether that opinion is true, because we won't get to see them go sort of battle for the starting spot. But I would have kept Brad if I could, even to give us a plan B. I loved it last season, although I don't think we utilised it as much. But I did love it when we could bring Jonathan Clark-Harris off the bench and create a different plan. We had a different plan, which made it difficult for teams, especially going into the latter stage of the match, where we brought on a different style of strike and we played a different way. We could have easily have done that with Bradley. Unfortunately, we won't see him next season, which is a shame because I would have kept him. But look, at the end of the day, we've said it on numerous times about numerous players. Sometimes you make a punt, it doesn't always work out. And I don't think Bradley has worked out here.
Yeah, like Max has said, we all, before we found out that Brad doesn't have a future at the club or supposedly doesn't have a future at the club, we all said we would keep Brad. The reasoning I would keep Brad is potentially have three strikers, and Brad is the one that brings something different, similar to what Jonathan Clark-Harris was for us last season. Brad is the one that you bring on to hold up the ball further up the pitch and cause a bit of mayhem, and he does that very well. So from that point of view, I would keep him. obviously we have learnt more information since we said that. Do we want someone who's potentially unprofessional in the dressing room kicking about? Probably not. But I would rather have Brad as one of the three options than Bolu. And we aren't talking about Bolu in this episode. I don't think Bolu is ready to make that step up to be one of the three strikers. You should have your starting striker, your second striker, and then your alternative striker. And it would be a shame for us to let Brad go and sign a different player that's going to do basically the same thing, I think. I think there's something in Brad. I think we can probably utilise him a bit next season, doing exactly that if we want to. And there's been times we've put Manny up front to do that. I don't want to see that, to be honest with you. I want Manny to be a defender and I want a different striker up front.
Yeah, Brad. I am still in the believer that Brad will be with us next season. You know, me and Ash mentioned it the other day about, could this be sort of a Fergie's way of keeping, you know, shoving a shot up his arse, whatever it needs to be to get him to buck his ideas up. It's a figure of speech. But, you know, when you look down the history of some of the unruly players that Peterborough United have had, fucking Marcus Madison, really, you kind of bit a bigger prick than him. You know, how long did we keep him? 3, 4, 5 years? You know, you had Lee Tomlin, probably one of the biggest sulkers you had, very talented. Harry has just said, eight years we had Madison, that long. Wow. Fucking 8 months was too long. Anyway, we had Paul Taylor. You know, we brought to Paul Taylor on the back of a drug charge, for fuck's sake. Didn't he get released by Rotterdam for drugs and whatever? You know, we sort of helped him, got him on straight and narrow. You know, and there's more. I generally can't think of many more, but there are some. There definitely are some. So I don't think it's the end of the road for Brad with Peterborough United, but he is seriously, in the next fucking couple of weeks, couple of months, got to get his act into gear really quickly, because I'm going to keep on harping on until he's no longer a Peterborough United player. I want him to stay at Peterborough United. I think he can do a very good job for us. There's definitely something about him. You know, if he needs us to sort of put our arm around him and get him on side, then that's what we'll do, because we're here for Brad. I'm fucking keeping Brad. End of story. Don't give a fuck who signs a contract or says he's staying, he's going, whatever. I'm keeping him. That's all I've got to say on the matter.
I think putting an arm around a player to make sure we get the best out of them next season is far more deserved on the shoulders of Kean Hayes, who I, and indeed the entire podcast, I believe, is keeping for next season. What I loved about his season, it was a development year, as it should have been. Now, he was thrown into it a bit with Poker getting injured, but he's had multiple sub-appearances with chances to show what he can do. And he had it in flashes, as any young winger does. It's not perfect, but Stevenage away. To be honest, a few of the games in that nearly 10-match unbeaten run, the 1-10 loss, multiple times, attacked down the wing with forward-thinking, directness, often more direct even than Poker was capable of. He has tunnel vision right now, properly loses the sense of potential passes. And once he's decided he's going for a shot, you can see it three touches before it happens. And he, as I say, that tunnel vision, the game needs to slow down in his mind for him to really take the next step. But boy, do I believe he can take that next step. His technical ability is fantastic already. He just needs to work on essentially keeping his head up while he's dribbling to see the options ahead of him.
Yeah, I do agree with you, Harry. And I think that's probably the only thing that Hayes does let himself down on and that he does need to work on, is that he is very, very much a one-trick pony, which is maybe where we've been a little bit harsh on somebody like David Ajiboy. I'm sure that listening back to whatever Charlie says, Charlie will say that he knows how to beat a man. Kean Hayes also does know how to beat a man, and that's what we've enjoyed watching Poku do. But Poku managed to find the right ball, the right option, the right shot, the cross, the pass across the goal. Hayes doesn't quite have that yet, but like you say, Harry, to completely echo everything that you've just said, he's shown flashes of it. And if he can get it right, then he'll become a fantastic winger for us. I also think that maybe Max was a little bit harsh on Otto. Otto is a left winger and Hayes is a right winger. So I don't think that they're fighting for the same spot. I think that there is space for both of them in the squad. But yeah, I think that Hayes is a no-brainer. He's shown everything that he can. He's just had some rotten luck with, unfortunately, having to be second fiddle to the best player in League One this season.
No, that's right. Just want to reiterate what I said the other day about Hayes, Kira Hayes, Kieran. I just like his attitude, and I do think he's got something to give. And I think it's someone like that that is doing what he's doing for his own benefit, for the club's benefit as well. We need to give him a chance for next year. So there is one player, that's why I'm keeping. Anyway, moving on to another fucking purposely, someone who's always injured is David Kamara. Has anybody actually seen him play? Because I'm pretty sure that I've never seen him play. So based on that, I'm releasing him. He could be fucking excellent. He could be shit. I don't really know. I've never seen him. So just to keep it sort of level and across the board and everything, and to make sure we've got gaps to fill, and, you know, we have got that wage cap that Dara keeps talking about, I'm releasing him. Don't know what it's like. So sorry, mate. You had a chance or you didn't. Let's see who else can fill that gap.
Yeah, I do actually think that David Kamara is an interesting one, because everything that we've heard from him is that he is going to be absolutely electric. We signed him from, was it Worthing potentially? And he was really good there, and he sort of come in, he was young, he was fresh. And unfortunately, we've not seen him. We obviously saw him hobbling around at the awards night, didn't we, on crutches. I think that, again, another loan would do him no harm. And then hopefully this time next year, we're talking about another player that we can embed into our first team squad and be there week in, week out. But, you know, like Dell says, we haven't seen it, have we? So it is difficult to gauge on a player that we've got signed for us when ultimately we've never seen him play. He's played, I think he came on for one Virtue Trophy game this season, which is how he's found himself in this conversation. We're only talking about the players that have had the minutes. He's one of them. So yeah, who knows? He could end up being somebody that we lose and end up going on scoring 30 goals a season. But at the moment, we are all just pissing in the wind, for want of better words.
Next player up, Jacob Wakeling. Now, he only had a handful of appearances last year, promptly shipped off to Gillingham this season, where, if I'm not mistaken, he scored, it's either on his debut or certainly close to it, and has done nothing since. And yet, I would not be transfer listing Jacob Wakeling. I would be loaning him out one more time for 3 months only. That final chance at maybe at a League Two, maybe even National League level, getting himself some decent performances under his belt, building that confidence. Now, he's 23, right? He's on the cusp of not even being part of the, you know, youthful model that we have. But what is the point in giving up on him now when we spent, whatever it was, 150K on him from Swindon, and then him going for what is going to be literally nothing, I suspect, if we try and sell him? We'll just give him away for free with a 10% sell-on. That's, I think, all we'll do. What's the point? We may as well, last chance to loan it with him, give him a half-season loan, see if he can take his chance.
I'm transfer listing Jacob Wakeling. He's 23 and has 9 professional goals. For me, like 9 goals to his name. If I remember correctly, I think he was a panic buy. I thought Johnson Clark Harris was out the door, and then we panicked because he wasn't out the door, and we picked up a striker off the back of a season where he got 8 goals and 6 assists. Since that season, he has 1 goal to his name, and that was on his debut against a debut for Gillingham. For me, he's not good enough for this football club. And I don't think that's harsh in me saying it. At 23, you have 9 professional goals as a striker. Not for me. He will be going on the transfer list. And if we can't get rid of him, I would be releasing him, paying the rest of his contract off, and let him go into the wind and find somewhere else to go. Because ultimately, we can learn him for 3 months, but if you look at the history of his career, he's not kicked on yet. And I don't think at the age of 23, and in this young and hungry model that we've got, he's going to kick on for us, especially when we've got strikers like, you know, Kamara and Gustav, who we spent a lot more money on. He's not going to get a sniff in for us. So I don't think he's a project with 9 career goals. I'm right, thanks.
Yeah, I feel like Wakeling was one of them signings where we were just stockpiling strikers for just a random reason, a bit like Kamara, I guess, although he was younger when we signed him. And Kabongo Shamanga, who we've all voted to release this summer as he's out of contract. But the player I want to bring up is Pemi Adoroju, who for some reason had a lot of hype on Twitter. Everyone seemed to love him. I don't really know where it came from, if I'm being completely honest with you. He was banging them in at Biggles Wade. We took a punt on him. He's slightly older. He's 21 next week. He's going to be the same age as Malik Mothersill and Bradley when the season starts next season. So I'm not sure why people would want to keep Pemi. I don't know what we're going to gain out of it. Much like the Ollie Rose point I made earlier, nowhere near the first team, just get him gone. There's no need to stockpile all these strikers if they've got no route into the first team.
I'll tell you what it was, Lods. He came on against Wickham in that game that we lost in like 5-2, and Bilo had an absolute howler, and he just looked like an absolute animal. Now, looks can clearly be very deceiving. He struggled massively at Boston this year. I'm so desperate for one of our predictions to be right that I've put him down on my release list, because I did say that he would be somebody that we would never see play for Peterborough United again after a fantastic loan spell. His loan spell was not fantastic. He ended up injured more often than not, similar to David Kamara. I think that he was a gamble. Like you said, stockpiling strikers, and hopefully one of them, you throw enough shit at the wall, some of it will stick eventually, won't it? Kamara, Pemi Adoroju and Jacob Wakeling are all three potentially failed experiments at that. Yeah, look, I think he's gone. I don't think that we're going to see the potential of him. If somebody like Bolu is going to come through, that immediately pushes somebody like Pemi into the darkest depths of somebody that we need to get rid of. So yeah, I think that's that. I think that Pemi goes, unfortunately, and maybe I get my prediction right. We don't see him ever again play for Bosch.
I believe among the hosts I'm the only one that said keep Pemi. Let's think about the makeup of the forward line at the beginning of next season. It's Lindgren and it's Pemi. Oh, and Bolu, fine. A 16-year-old who was nice to bring him on against Bolton, but let's get real. He's not having an impact on the first team next season. At least Pemi has a physical presence. If Brad's going, there's a tall, strong striker there. I don't know if he's got the same technical ability that Brad has. I don't know if he can finish like Brad, but are we really getting rid of him for no reason? Gonna pause. Oh, Bolu. I said Bolu, Max. I meant Bolu. Yeah. Are we really getting rid of him for no reason? Let's just keep him. Maybe we'll end up signing other strikers and he won't be needed. But for now, I'm having him on my keep list until further notice.
Last on the list, Gustav Lindgren. 2 in 2 missed chances, like we discussed in the last episode. He's got to come good. Max has said we spent a lot of money on him. D-Max said he cost us 500k. We don't know if that's the Swedish krona or pounds 500k that we've paid. I pray that this Swedish investment comes off. And, you know, I don't want to play that, oh, he's played loads of games card, but let's hope that we can give him a rest. We can let him develop on what he needs to do. I do agree with what D-Max says. I do agree that he makes fantastic runs. But unfortunately, without somebody to make those passes, those defence-splitting passes, I don't think that we're ever going to see the best of Gustav, because he's had the ball fall to him in 2 opportunities now. He's not put it in the back of the net. I watched the highlights from the Bolton game for the first time earlier on. And yes, it came to him quickly off the goalkeeper, but he's just got to keep it down. Some people think that he's maybe going to score 20, 30 goals next season. I hope they're right, but I've not seen anything that suggests that he's even going to have more than a shot on goal a game at the moment, let alone the chance to score 30 goals in a season. So it's a tough one. I'd keep him. We've invested, haven't we? We've got to give him a fair crack of the whip. And unfortunately, behind the likes of Ricky and Mother Seal and other players playing in different positions, he hasn't had that chance. So I think it is only right that he has the preseason. He has the chance and, you know, hopefully does go and score 30 goals, but I can't see it myself, unfortunately.
Yeah, we've all voted to keep Gustav, and I think we're all desperate for that investment to pay off. But I do think that it's going to take him some time to develop. We can see that he's struggling physically in this league, and I have concerns of him being our starting striker. I would have him as our second striker, and I think we need to go back to spending almost our entire transfer budget on one player, and that be a number nine that's just ready to go. We used to do it back in the day. Can you remember we had Matty Godden and Jason Cummings, and we signed Ivan Toney, and we had Mohamed Issa and Johnson Clark-Harris at the club at the same time. We've now come so far away from that that we're starting to lose that identity we have of having that striker that's going to score 25 to 30 goals. They're the ones that bring in the money. We say that spending 500 grand is a lot of money on Gustav. I don't think so. And going back on my point of stockpiling strikers, that's fine if they're good. But we're stockpiling absolute punts. I'm not saying Gustav is one. I'm sure he will come good. But if we want to make money on strikers and have that constant development flow like we have done in the past, we need to just go out there and buy one that's ready-made, not trust that someone playing in the Swedish third or second division, wherever he's come from, is going to be one that's going to score 25 goals in what's going to be his first full season in England. Like, I just can't see it happening.
I think with Gustav, it's very difficult. I've been very critical of him over the past few weeks, and I'd keep him. I think ultimately we have to give him a fair chance. And the point that I wanted to make that I don't think I've made very well recently is that with Gustav, I don't think we're going to see the best of him until he's adapted to this league. We unfortunately, coming in at the time that he did, you look how long it's taken Oscar Vallin to get to the position where he went on that run next to Hughes. It's going to take him a while. It's a project that we've got to get behind, and it's going to be a very difficult one. And sometimes I think it's going to be like close your eyes, sort of missing sitters almost, but I do think he'll come good eventually. It's just how long is it going to take for him to come good? And we've got to see if we want promotion now or if we want to just make little increments of improvement. And I think we want to take the latter, and Gustav will be a project for the next few years. But we'll have to wait and see. I just think we've got to give him time, especially with how long it's taken Valen to bed in. I think we've got to look at that and clearly see that the Swedish league is no League One by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting a little tired of the Gustav talk because, to be honest, he's a bit like diarrhea at the minute. He might have the runs, but there is pure shit on the end of it. And look, he's got a lot of work to do if he is going to become our first choice striker. I'm keeping him, but I am keeping him as our third choice. I do not want him as our lead number nine. Otherwise, I think we are in huge trouble next season. Lods, I'm fully with you. We need to go and spend big money on a proper number nine and probably a second choice number nine. And then I'm comfortable with Lindgren getting minutes and fits and starts. And we'll see if we can somehow find someone to get on the end of the supposedly brilliant movement that he makes. Because when he even has got chances, Bristol Rovers, Bolton, he's fluffed his lines. And I've just, I think everyone with Lindgren, if you want him to stay, you're kind of just repeating the club line and having faith that they have got it right. And it's kind of blind faith rather than anything more. With that, we are through the entire squad. It's been a long one today, a long recording. Please do let us know your thoughts. If there's anyone you disagree with, if there's anyone you agree with, any controversial takes, I'm sure it's not going to be unanimous across the fan base. We've all come up with, you know, different opinions on each player ourselves. and very, very few we have come up with a collective consensus on. So we'd love to hear from you. You can do that in the YouTube comments or in the Twitter comments. Please do subscribe to our YouTube. It really helps us as well if you haven't done so already. And with that all said, up the podcast.
Up the podcast.
Up the podcast.
Up the podcast. Up the podcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Podcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Podcast.
Harry, you can go for your shit now.
Shit, mate, he's gone. He's out of here, isn't he?
Fuck. Fucking hellfire.